Hi, I'm Francesca, a registered nutritional therapist, and you're listening to another episode of the Empowered Perimenopause podcast. Welcome. My aim is to bring you down-to-earth, conversational episodes that help you develop a deeper understanding of how your body's changing in your 40s, and most importantly, how you can support yourself throughout this wonderful transitional phase of your life. Join me for my solo episodes and also episodes with guests for fun, fresh, truthful chat on all things health and happiness in your 40s. And now onto the episode. Hi, and welcome back to another episode with me, your host, Francesca. So we're now in the second week of the new year and it's already going quite quickly. I'm not sure if you're feeling the same, but I'm already feeling like it's going to be spring before we know it. It just seems to be going quicker and quicker these days. I'm not sure if it's just me, but yeah, I definitely feel a bit out of sync and like my brain is still in September last year. But here we are in another new year. So to kick off this second week of a brand new year, in today's episode, I wanted to share an encouraging message about perimenopause, if I haven't done so already, because I do like to think that as much as I'm educating in these episodes on what's actually happening, you know, physiologically, biologically, and the various symptoms and changes, but I'm also giving you that empowering message that there's a lot that can be done. And then obviously giving you those some simple tips in various episodes. But I really wanted to just reiterate the encouraging message that perimenopause is a window of opportunity for us where we can start to make small tweaks to how we do things or add things in or reduce others in small ways that can have a big impact on how we move through and experience perimenopause. Small shifts can be really powerful in reducing symptoms and even stopping them completely. I've done this for my own symptoms as and when various ones have showed up or evolved over the last sort of 4 or so years since I started noticing subtle changes and symptoms. Sleep issues and random subtle anxiety were the first two symptoms I started to notice around age 42. So that's about 4 years ago. And I managed to nip those in the bud pretty fast with some small tweaks and just by paying attention to what made them show up, what made them worse, and really listening to them as information for me to say, right, you know, there's something that maybe you've always done it, so you wouldn't think it was an issue, but just because it, you know, you, let's say, quote unquote, got away with it in the previous years, it doesn't mean it's okay for you now. Because now, as you're moving through perimenopause, where our hormones are changing so much, everything's shifting, physiology is shifting and becoming more sensitive, it can just mean that certain things like sleep and keeping anxiety at bay need different attention. Or need attention now when they didn't need attention in your 20s, your 30s, even your late 30s. So for me, starting to notice subtle anxiety and some sleep issues around 42, the changes I made then, which nipped those in the bud pretty fast, were things that I didn't have to think about when I was 39, when I was 35, even when I was 41. It was all good. Those things were okay. But I had to accept that these symptoms don't just show up for no reason. They're not just annoyances. They're actually messages for me to say, look, if we can just make some shifts, in my case at the time, I just needed to make some simple shifts to my evening routine, my wind down routine before I went to bed. No longer was it working that I could just watch TV right up until bedtime and then expect myself to fall into bed and fall into a restorative full night's sleep. I had to make tweaks there. And as soon as I made those tweaks, lo and behold, my sleep returned to how it was before. And that now I know if I have the odd night where I don't have that wind down routine, my sleep isn't as easy to come by or it's not as restorative. And then I know, okay, you need to remember this, you know, it doesn't work anymore. And the same with the anxiety. That really helped. That obviously improving my sleep had a knock-on impact to that subtle anxiety. And I kept both of those things at bay and I have done ever since. So just by sort of paying attention to what symptoms are trying to tell us, whilst they're still subtle, is really powerful. And that's how we can use perimenopause as this window of opportunity to lay the foundation for the future, you know, when we do get closer to reaching menopause itself and start living life post-menopause. But if you feel like your symptoms are already screaming at you, so they're not just subtle anymore, or maybe you feel like they were never subtle, they're just, they've all just, you know, bang appeared out of nowhere screaming at you. Either way, that's usually a sign that your body has been asking for support for a while. We don't just get random symptoms just screaming at us. They do usually start subtle and then creep up, even if we might think we hadn't noticed them before. When we really sit and think about it, they were there before. They were just very subtle and they were ignored, and now they're screaming at us. So one of the most important things to understand about your 40s is this. Symptoms start talking to you, as I said, long before they scream. Symptoms of their inflammation, even though they feel like an inconvenience, it's always your body's way of trying to tell you something, trying to get your attention, trying to ask you to make some tweaks, to do something new or to not do something anymore because it just doesn't work anymore. Or, quote unquote, we can't get away with it anymore. So some of the subtle, quiet symptoms that often start in early perimenopause, so this could be sort of late 30s, early 40s, subtle sleep changes, like I said in my case, slightly worse or new PMS, that was mine, my story, slightly heavier periods, lower stress tolerance, feeling less resilient to stress, more fatigue, changes in mood or motivation, slower recovery from exercise, so needing longer between exercises, between workouts to recover now, increased anxiety and or irritability. And it's long been thought that a woman isn't in perimenopause until her cycles actually change, her periods become very different, her cycles are longer or shorter or missing. But that's just not the case. These quiet, subtle symptoms start speaking to us usually long before our cycles start to change. And that, again, was and is my case. I'm 46. I still have very, very regular cycles. So some could argue, well, you're not in perimenopause yet. I absolutely am in perimenopause. I've been there since I was 41. These symptoms come along, you know, like I said, way before cycles actually start to change. For some women, cycles are already starting to change. They're already getting shorter, for example. That's the most common thing. In fact, mine, although they're still regular, they have got shorter. They were always 27, 28 days in my 20s and 30s. When I hit 42, they started to shorten, and they shortened by one day for about 3 years. One day they went down to sort of 26 days, and then over about a year they went down to 25 days. Over another year they went down to 24 days. Now at 46, they're creeping back up again to 27 days. But I still have very regular periods. But even before the change in length, there was this popular belief that we're not in perimenopause until we start to notice a change in cycles, and that just isn't the case. So with these subtle symptoms that start to show in early perimenopause for most of us, they're just quietly asking for support. They're quietly saying, look, we're now in this new terrain. Hormones are behaving differently and it's shifting. It's having this knock-on impact to other systems, and it's shifting how those work. It's shifting how sensitive we now are to, for example, stress, to late nights, to intense exercise, to alcohol, to, burning the candle at both ends and overworking. It's shifting all of those things. But the trouble is, because these changes and symptoms can feel, because they're so subtle, they can feel manageable, many women ignore them. We tend to push through them or normalize them. It's human nature for many of us to just push through, at least until symptoms start screaming at us. I mean, that's just, like I said, it's human nature. And it's also what women tend to do is just, you know, I haven't got time to deal with this. This isn't the right time to deal with this. I'll deal with this when I'm less busy, or, you know, when I get a holiday or something, I'll just take some time off and I'll feel fine after that. We tend to not start to take any action until things are really screaming at us. And in terms of normalizing these symptoms as well, there's so obviously so much more talk now about perimenopause and menopause, and so much more awareness about the particular symptoms that are, you know, these whole random list of symptoms that we're becoming more aware of now, which is really great. And of course, I'm an advocate for that because of what I do. But it's also bringing this normalization of symptoms. So there's plenty of different Instagram accounts now where people are making, you know, light jokes about, you know, making reels on various symptoms, like, you know, experiences now. So, oh, me in the supermarket when I'm perimenopausal. And it's just this woman completely not knowing where she's going, what she's coming in for, looking completely ragged. And it's like, it's funny, you know, it makes everybody laugh and we all resonate with it. I've walked into the supermarket many times, not having a clue why I walked in when I knew it a minute ago, but now I've forgotten. I walk out and then I remember and I walk back in and I forget again. That happens a lot. And I can laugh about that with my friends, with my sister, with my partner, but it doesn't mean we should normalize these symptoms. It's not okay. On those days where I have those moments where I just, things just fall out of my head, while I can laugh about it, it shouldn't, I should, that that is still a message from my physiology saying, look, you're running too fast, you're running on empty, or you're doing too much, you need to focus on this, you need to take a look at that. So it's still messages. We can't just normalize them and say, okay, this is just what happens, it's all part and parcel. They're not just random symptoms, they are messages. And we also should not wait until our body has to shout, until those symptoms start to scream. We don't want to wait that long. While symptoms are just subtly talking to us, the body's far more responsive. At this stage, small habit changes make a big difference. The nervous system is easier to stabilize. Blood sugar is easier to rebalance. Sleep can be protected and restored more easily, more quickly. Inflammation is lower and therefore more reversible. If we, however, wait until symptoms are screaming, like, for example, really chronic insomnia now, not just a slight change to sleep, intense anxiety, chronic anxiety, debilitating mood swings, severe hot flashes, weight gain that now feels impossible to shift, then the work becomes harder and more frustrating. It doesn't mean we can't change anything and get us back to ourselves. Of course we can. And I work with those people all the time. Many of the women that come to me do wait until their symptoms are screaming. I have many women that come when their symptoms are subtle. And I love that because we can really get in and make changes very quickly. But I also get women who wait until they're screaming and we still make changes. We definitely get results. And those women walk away feeling amazing afterwards. But it is just easier if we can get in there in this window of opportunity when it's all just subtle. So for me, encouraging this early action isn't about fear. It's not about, you know, oh gosh, I'm doomed if I wait until my, you know, if you're listening to this and you're thinking, well, my symptoms are definitely screaming at me, I'm desperate. That doesn't mean that we can't do anything. Of course we can. Like I said, we can still make big changes. You can still make big changes. But it's really just an encouragement to respect what your body's telling you, to honor it and to listen. Don't ignore these signs. Don't just laugh them off as typical perimenopausal woman. This is just what I have to deal with. Everyone's laughing about it online, so therefore this is just normal. But this also isn't to say that if you're listening to this and your symptoms, as I said, are screaming that you're doomed, there's no way back. That's not the case at all. It's just far easier to pull yourself back into better balance when your symptoms are still just mild and subtle. It's a gentle knock to say, please do something. We've moved, like I said, into this new terrain and we need extra support, or we need to just make some tweaks. So many women say to me that they feel like they've been hit with a ton of bricks overnight and that their symptoms have just suddenly come out of nowhere and they're screaming. But when we sit down, I said this earlier, but when we sit down and talk about it properly in a consultation, they then start to recognize and join the dots that they actually had ignored subtle symptoms for quite some time, even years for some women. And those women often wish they could go back and have taken small action back then to not be suffering so much now. Perimenopause is this wonderful, powerful window of opportunity. And it's just something I wish every woman knew and honored. Now, obviously, we can all make our own choices if we know this, but we don't choose to honor it, that's fine. That's your choice. But if we don't know this, and if we did know it, we could honor it. That's what I wish. That's why I wish every woman knew, to have their own choice. And perimenopause is not the beginning of decline. It's that window, that time, this opportunity where we can listen and take action. If we listen and take action in our 40s, we can reduce symptom severity later. We can protect our brain health, our cognition, our memory, support our sleep, support our stress resilience. We can support our bone health, our muscle health. We can move into menopause feeling stable, secure, and not blindsided. One thing that's really important, so we talk about safeguarding, you know, bone health, brain health, muscle health, particularly for as we further age and go into postmenopause. The other thing we really want to protect is long-term metabolic health. So we can think of metabolic health as your body's internal energy management system. And when it's all working well, things like your blood sugar stays steady, stays nice and level, is easier, you know, to keep blood sugar levels in healthy range. Your hormones communicate better. Your body feels safe. When it's struggling, everything feels harder when your metabolic health is struggling. Everything feels harder. Energy, sleep, mood, weight, cognition, brain, power. During perimenopause, because estrogen fluctuates so wildly and progesterone's declining, it directly affects our ability to regulate our blood sugar. It directly impacts insulin sensitivity and can make us more prone to being insulin resistant, which is, we've spoken about that on separate episodes. It makes us more prone to fat storage, particularly around the middle. And it increases stress hormones like cortisol, it increases inflammation and more. And so we really want to be supporting metabolic health during this window of opportunity in perimenopause, because when metabolic health is compromised, which is what perimenopause will naturally do, those hormonal ups and downs and the symptoms that that brings feel much louder. So many women look back and say, if only I'd known this in my 40s. I hear this all the time. And it's why menopause can feel so hard for some women who didn't know this in their 40s. A lot of women who've struggled significantly at menopause, when they actually get to that point of having gone 12 months without a period and now they've reached menopause, they didn't suddenly become out of balance overnight. They may feel like they did, but often that groundwork was laid years earlier in perimenopause when they had that window of opportunity. But changes, you know, they didn't know what we do know now and what people are talking about more now. And so there wasn't that opportunity for them to make those changes and lay those that groundwork. And so common symptoms for people who really struggle when they get to menopause, and then the years after menopause, in postmenopause, can be really troublesome, really debilitating. And that can be things like debilitating low mood, debilitating anxiety or emotional volatility, even anger and rage, really affecting their ability to go to work, their ability to maintain healthy relationships, their sleep. Poor sleep can become chronic. I hear this all the time from women in their 60s who say, you know, I just haven't slept well in decades now, a couple of decades. Brain fog and cognition issues can be getting worse and feel really intense. Intense hot flushes still, even years later after postmenopause, and that stubborn weight gain and the development of an apple shape in what they feel has just sort of developed as they've moved into postmenopause. And this isn't just down to bad luck or down to their genes. This is often a result of unaddressed imbalances that started way before perimenopause, but became more imbalanced as the body moved into and through perimenopause. And that important window of opportunity wasn't, you know, again, they didn't know that there were changes that could have been made in that window that could have prevented how they're feeling now. But again, it doesn't mean they can't turn things around. I have clients in their 60s. In, you know, that's who I'm sort of thinking about when I talk about this. And we've worked together to really improve how they feel. They're sleeping better. They've got their mood under control, their anxiety under control, their hot flushes under control, and they're starting to feel much, much better. And there's so much more work that we'll do together to help improve things like muscle strength, bone health, and things like that. So this is where the 360 approach matters, and it's so important. I've talked about this on previous episodes as well. But perimenopause isn't just a single hormone issue. It's not about just addressing, you know, low estrogen when we get closer in the later stages of perimenopause, when estrogen actually starts its decline. Because remember, it's still high in the earlier stages of perimenopause. It's just fluctuating erratically, and then it eventually starts to decline and still fluctuate erratically. And then we have a decline in progesterone from early perimenopause. But it's not just about pinpointing those two hormones and fixing those. Whilst it can be very helpful, obviously, which is a separate topic, but to be addressing maybe hormone therapy for progesterone, for example, a bit earlier on, and potentially hormone therapy for estrogen later, nearer to menopause. Whilst those things can be helpful, we absolutely need to look at the whole physiological 360 picture. We need to look at blood sugar regulation and supporting that. We need to look at supporting stress and nervous system health. We need to look at supporting sleep and circadian rhythms. We need to look at supporting how you're moving, how you're recovering from that movement. We need to look at hormone metabolism, how you're breaking down your hormones, not just estrogen, all of them, including your stress hormones, and how you're clearing those out of the body, if you're clearing them out of the body properly. We need to look at gut health and digestive health. When these symptoms are supported together, symptoms reduce, often dramatically. We can really reduce the intensity, we can turn it right down, we can turn it right off in many cases. And the encouraging part is that you don't need to overhaul your life overnight, because small, consistent habit change really does change the trajectory. When symptoms are still mild, things like introducing regular protein-rich meals can start to stabilize your hormones, including your blood sugar regulating hormones, and therefore your blood sugar levels, and therefore improve insulin sensitivity. These are like the foundations of good health. So simply just starting to add more protein to all of your meals, particularly breakfast, getting 30 to 40 grams of protein within an hour of waking up, if you're not already doing that, is a huge needle mover. When symptoms are still mild, better sleep habits and timing of our, you know, evening routine habits, which is what I had to change, and I've been doing that ever since, and looking at the timing of going to bed and waking up instantly can start to improve mood and energy. Again, having a knock-on impact to other things as well, like hot flushes and cognition issues. Smarter exercise, learning how to, you know, exercise smarter, not harder, reduces inflammation and builds muscle. Stress support starts to protect progesterone levels and mood and sleep. Digestive support starts to improve hormone breakdown and clearance, which helps stabilize estrogen's roller coaster and reduces PMS, water retention, mood issues, sleep issues, all having knock-on impact. And all of these things also support weight, if that's an issue for you, as a natural side effect. Small shifts now can prevent big problems later. This phase of life invites a different relationship with your body. And instead of us asking, how do I just push through all these symptoms? How do I get through this? You know, let's just do this. I know it's going to be awful, but how do I push through it? Let's start asking, what is my body asking for? What does my body need? What is it trying to tell me with these symptoms? What small changes could I start to make? Paying attention early helps you stay ahead of things rather than feel blindsided later. So perimenopause isn't something to endure. It's a time to listen. So listen to your symptoms, your experiences, your challenges. It's a time to learn. So hopefully learning from people like myself, other trusted sources that you might find as well. And it's time to take informed action. So this podcast show has tons of episodes where I've talked about what you can do. That's the whole premise of this show, Empowered Perimenopause. I've also got my free perimenopause blueprint guide that you can download from my website. I've also got the recording of my recent Thriving Through Perimenopause masterclass that you can download from the website for free. And if you want more consistent support, you can join my Midlife Thrive membership. It's £39 a month. That's the founding rate. So in the future, it won't be £39 a month, but for founders, once you join at that rate, you will always keep that rate. It's also cancel any time. You can stay in for as little or as long as you want to. You can stay in for the next few years whilst you move through perimenopause, and we can do this together. Or you can come in for 3 months, 2 months, you know, and leave. That's completely up to you. Or for even deeper and completely personalized comprehensive support, there's my one-to-one offerings. All of the information about all of these things is available on my website, like I said, and the free guide, the free masterclass recording, blogs on my website, you know, obviously all these episodes. This is episode 68. So if you haven't listened to any previous episodes, there's plenty to get through there. That should give you a lot of guidance, hopefully. So you can head over to my website, francescaliparotti.com, or DM me on Instagram. I'm perimenopause.with.francesca or over on Instagram, but all of this is in the show notes, all of these links. So just to remind you before we finish up, by listening to your symptoms now, you don't just feel better now, you set yourself up to thrive well beyond menopause. That's my goal every day. Yes, I want to feel better now. Of course I do. And that's my goal. But I also want to set myself up to feel great as I get closer to menopause, as I move into and post menopause, as I move into my 60s, my 70s. We're laying that groundwork now. The symptoms you listen to in your 40s are the ones you're far less likely to battle in your 50s. So thank you for listening, and I'll see you next time. Bye-bye. If you enjoyed this episode, come and join me inside the Midlife Thrive membership. It's where I share my best resources, deeper education and coaching support to help you navigate perimenopause and beyond with clarity and confidence. Head to francescaliparotti.com/midlife-thrive-membership or check the link in the show notes, and I'll look forward to welcoming you into the community.